Good morning, Penguin Radio. You're listening to 49ers Live with Beetle at radio.dominican.edu. I am here on this kind of gloomy Tuesday morning here at Dominican in San Rafael, and it's looking like it is not going to be the best weather today, but I do have a full show for all my listeners out there of this week's game of the 49ers versus Panthers. Not a lot of good things to say about the 49ers this week, but there's still seven more games left this season, so there's still ways to improve, and the 49ers have looked like they can achieve that star quality this season. They have proved that they can be that type of team with the direction they were going before this week. So I want to talk about where the 49ers stand right now. Before this Carolina game, they were coming off of a 5-game winning streak, and they were doing extremely well. Week one, they beat the Green Bay Packers at home, and that was the game where Colin Kaepernick produced over 400 passing yards. It was like, okay, the 49ers are back. The Super Bowl appearance team is there. Before the season even started, it was the 49ers and Seattle predicted to represent the NFC and the NFC championship game. And so the 49ers were living up to that expectation after week one, beating a predicted strong Green Bay Packer team. So I want to talk about how the 49ers went through a little slump after that, losing to Seattle and the Colts. And so a big factor this season has been injuries. Players have been coming in and out throughout the season. And that was, in my opinion, a big reason why they were losing those games. So going back to week three, they were 1-2, but after that, producing 5 straight wins against not very good teams. So that is where the criticism is coming from right now for the 49ers. Before this Carolina Panther game, many people were saying that none of these teams were actually good. So the 49ers beat the Texans, who are currently 2-7. So none of the teams they had beaten were over 500. So they were like, it's not that impressive. They haven't beaten anybody good. So it was a test this week against Carolina. Can they beat a good team? Do they have it in them? Can they get to the playoffs? And can they win the NFC West? Are they just going to be a wild card? Are they even going to make the playoffs? And after this week, it looks like a playoff appearance might not be happening this season after the way they played. So the 49ers came into this matchup 6-2, second in the NFC West behind the Seattle Seahawks. And the Panthers came into this game 5-3, coming into the game with 4 consecutive wins. So these were two of the hottest NFL teams right now in this game before it happened. Both teams very solid midway through the season. So another fun fact to bring into this is that the 49ers and the Panthers used to play in the same division way back when I was a little kid. I believe the switch happened in 2002 season when they switched all the divisions around. Seattle used to be in the AFC in the Raiders division, then they switched over to the NFC West. The 49ers are in the same division as the Falcons, Rams, Panthers, and the Cardinals switched in. I think the Cardinals were always in the division. But back to the preview of this game. So these two teams have played 17 games over the years. And so looking at the 49ers before this game, one of the top contenders. But a problem with the 49ers is their passing offense, only averaging 189 yards per game, ranked number 32. And that is not good. So it's definitely something they need to improve on. but their offense is solid because of their run game with 153 yards per average on the ground, and that's coming from Frank Gore, a big majority of it. So it looks like the 49ers, a lot of their success has been because of the running, and that's how they have produced a lot of their yards on offense. So NFL quarterbacks are having trouble against the Panthers rush attack, and later in this game it showed how Kaepernick did have some trouble throwing the ball, obviously, against this Panthers rush attack. And so Manningham, this was the return of Manningham. Crabtree has yet to return, so there, that's another story to talk about, where the 49ers stand with injuries. As for Vernon Davis, he left midway through the game, and that was another huge loss for the 49ers. Vernon Davis has come up huge this season. He's been a key player. And going to Vernon Davis, Kaepernick said in a post-game interview, Vernon Davis changes defense's approach to the game. They look for how to stop him. And he hasn't been like the star of the NFL this season, but I think that he has come up big for the 49ers and has come up with some quality plays, has to produce some touchdowns. That's won the 49ers games. So Gore and Kendall Hunter have been producing a lot of the big numbers for the offense, though. Not really Bolden, not doing as well on the offense, producing great offense for the 49ers. So going into this game, the Panthers had the number two rushing defense in the NFL, only allowing 79 rushing yards per game. So the 49ers had their hands full this week, and it looked like the 49ers weren't really playing their running game. And it showed because they just weren't giving Gore the ball. And I think in their the 2 weeks they had to study the Panthers, they didn't really want to go for that type of game where they were getting stuffed at the line. And so they were going more for the passing game, and it didn't really work out for the 49ers. So overall, before I get into the whole analysis of the game, the 49ers play on offense was very, very sloppy. Not converting on any third downs, really. I think they converted, I'll go into that later, but they only converted on two third downs. Not clicking anything past Kaepernick, not clicking with his receivers. It didn't look good out there. And Carolina's front seven on defense is so good. So that was another thing that wasn't surprising, that they were able to get up in Kaepernick's face and sack him a whole bunch of times, because they are solid on that defensive line. And their pass offense is ranked 25th in the league. So, see, these numbers were making sense as the game played on. So, on paper, before the game even started, it looked like a pretty even match. Both teams needed this win because they are both in the playoff hunt, and it looked like it would come down to the last minute, which it did. Most of you already know that the 49ers did lose this game 10-9, but not without a very hard-fought battle, especially coming from the defense. They were on the field more than the 49ers offense was, and they looked very tired and run down after the game. So good play by them, because they only allowed 10 points. And in a post-game interview from Patrick Willis, their goal every game, he said, is to allow under 17 points per game, and that is what they did. So on his part, it looked, on the defensive part, it looked pretty decent out there, and I'll go into that later too. So I'm going to take a quick break right now, and when I come back, there's still so much to talk about, so much from this game. I'm going to talk about injuries. I'm going to talk about this new stadium, the Saints game next week, where the 49ers stand in the standings right now, what's going on with the playoff race, player analysis in this game, who needs to step up, what's going on with that. So I will be talking about that all when I get back. You are listening to 49ers Live with Beadle at radio.dominican.edu. I am back here at 49ers Live. So, going into this game against the Carolina Panthers this past Sunday, what went down? How did things play out? And so, Colin Kaepernick posted a single start career low 91 passing yards in this game, one of his worst games ever. He was sacked 6 times, which is a lot. And Carolina does have one of the top defenses, but where was the 49ers offensive line? Why wasn't there more protection? The 49ers didn't even score a touchdown in this game, and Kaepernick's fourth quarter play wasn't enough to make a comeback, only completing 7 of 9 passes for 20 yards and one interception to end the game. He said after the game in another interview that the offense needs to execute better. There needs to be more connections, more unity. They just need to play better as a team. There's some misconnections happening. And it obviously was clear because they weren't connecting on any third downs. 2 for 13 on third downs, not getting any first downs, and it just looked like nothing was coming together on offense. There was no unity in the 49ers offense. And it was surprising to see that because the 49ers in the last five games have scored over 30 points. So it's kind of the yin and the yang right there, completely opposite. Where was this high scoring 49ers offense that's done so well this season? And so the run has been so effective for them over these five consecutive wins. So it was a surprise this week because there was too much unsuccessful passing. Kaepernick only completed 2 of 13 third down plays. Nothing looked like it was working this week for the offense. The defense is what kept the team in this game. Looking at the stats from this game, the Panthers looked more solid and deserved the win because they played better. The Panthers got more first downs than the 49ers, had more possession of the ball. They just outplayed the 49ers. And Kaepernick getting six times, lost 45 yards. And Cam Newton, you know, he got for the Carolina's starting quarterback, got sacked four times, losing 30 yards. But still, the Panthers even won that. So that little stat comparison. So going into this game, the 49ers had a 9-0 lead and were able to not hold on to that lead by the second half. They gave up a touchdown right before the half ended, making it 9-7. So having this game, what went down was Phil Dawson kicked two field goals, making it 6-0. 49ers. It looked like things were going well. And then a controversial decision came, which will take the 49ers. It took them after the game to realize, oh, we could have done that differently. That was kind of dumb. It was a fourth and one play at the 2-yard line. They were up 6-0 off of those two field goals. Had somewhat control of the game in the beginning, more so than the second half. And they did not. Harbaugh's decision was to not go for it on 4th and 1 and to kick the field goal to make it a 2-possession game, to make it 9-0. But if they had gone that fourth, converted on that 4th and 1 at the 2-yard line, then the 49ers would have had the 13-0 lead. So at this point, it looked like Harbaugh's decision was the right one. Those points were so crucial for the team, and they really needed them. And points were so scarce at this point in the game that it looked like a 9-0 lead was a good one. And then the Panthers just came right back down the field to score that touchdown to make it 9-7 later in the game. So that wasn't after the game. Harbaugh was asked if he would have done it differently, and he said no. And then Kaepernick was asked, was there hesitancy for you to run a play? And he said, it wasn't my decision. So that's that. And the 49ers so went into this half. It was 9-7 and did not score again in the second half. So the only score that occurred in the second half was the Panthers' field goal. And so that's it for the game. It was only five scores, three field goals for the 49ers. The 49ers did not score a touchdown. The Panthers did get two scores, but that two scores did win them the game. It ended up being 10-9. So an interception, a big coming from the 49ers defense. Tremaine Brock comes up with an interception in the second quarter, and he has been a clutch player this season. Kaepernick's interception to Carolina's Florence was the one turnover that he gave up. So it looks as though no Crabtree, no Davis, that's not going to cut it for the 49ers offense. They need them back. They need some better communication. Just too many drop passes, too many not well thrown passes from Kaepernick. Not enough protection from the offensive line. So it just looked, yeah, sloppy out there. No momentum going for the 49ers in this game. And it is they criticisms coming to the 49ers, they have lost to three good teams. They've beaten all bad teams this season, except for, I believe, the Cardinals are now 5-4, so they are looking okay. And the Green Bay Packers are 5-4 as well, I believe. So they are okay. But when you're looking at other teams in the NFL, can the 49ers compete with high offensive scoring teams in this playoff run, like the Seattle Seahawks? And now, after this game, the 49ers do drop to 6-3, unfortunately. Now 2.5 games behind the Seattle Seahawks. And so it's just the whole team in post-game interviews, very despondent. Don't know really. They want to figure out what's wrong, how they can improve, how they can win games. Because at this point now, it's not quite desperation mode for the 49ers. At this point, they do have the sixth seed, I believe, and which means they do have a playoff appearance if the season were to end now, but there's still a lot more football to play. So they're not in desperation mode as of now. But now they're 2.5 games behind the Seahawks. It's looking like that NFC West race is getting out of their hands and going. It looks like the Seahawks do have that confidence coming into the big December 8th game. And I do think that the 49ers winning games before that will help them in that game against the Seattle Seahawks on December 8th. Will give them that confidence that, yeah, they are as good as the Seahawks and can win the NFC West as well. I do think the Seahawks have gotten very lucky. It showed in their wins against Tampa Bay and the Rams. I'm hoping that their time will come with some losses. And hopefully the 49ers, at this point, they just need to win. And so when I get back after this second break, I will be talking about how game analysis, who needs to improve, who came up big in this game for the 49ers, more mostly on the defense, who's coming back, where's Crabtree? A lot of people are asking. And a lot more to cover in the show. So you're listening to 49ers Live with Beadle at radio.dominican.edu. I will be back here shortly.
DU, Did You Know, brought to you by Penguin Radio. Did you know our campus is patrolled 24 hours a day, including weekends and holidays, by the Barbier Security Group? This means our campus is always safe and well protected. The campus security phone number is 269-6070. The number is 269-6070, and they are available to talk to you 24 hours a day. Did You Know is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Back here at 49ers Live with Beadle, radio.dominican.edu. So what happened this week in this 10-9 loss against the Carolina Panthers? Who played well, who didn't? As for Kaepernick, he is getting a lot of the blame this week. Just 11 passes. He completed just 11 passes and converted just 2 of 13 third downs. And he had 46 net passing yards. That is not too impressive on Colin Kaepernick's part. Took six sacks in this game. And he threw for one interception to seal the 49ers' defeat this week. It looked like they could possibly make some type of comeback at the end of the game. Did not happen. His passer rating in the fourth quarter was 0. But he did make some completions, so it's not all bad for Colin Kaepernick. And a big, big play that could have changed the whole game. The 49ers may have won the game if Vance McDonald had come up in the fourth quarter with a dropped pass from Kaepernick. It looked like Kaepernick had thrown the ball perfectly to McDonald, and McDonald just couldn't come up with the catch. It was right in his hands, just dropped it, and it looked like that was going to potentially be a touchdown for the 49ers. So not an impressive game for Kaepernick, and you need to have a quarterback, so hopefully he can get things together and get this team rolling next week against New Orleans. As for Frank Gore, had an excellent game against a tough running defense of the Carolina Panthers. 4 runs of more than 10 yards, and he also caught 2 passes. He was the 49ers' best offensive player, I would say, in this game. And Kendall Hunter, on the other hand, was not as impressive. He fumbled on a run up the middle in the third quarter. In Hunter's defense, he shouldn't have run that play. He hasn't run well up the middle all season, so I didn't think that was a good play call on the 49ers' part. So Bruce Miller had a nice 10-yard catch on the second play of the game. So, of course, Greg Roman didn't call another pass for him until the fourth quarter. I guess that's the move he wanted to do. As for wide receivers, where were the wide receivers in this game? Bolden was a non-factor. He did catch 3 passes for 30 yards. Manningham, the return of him, he caught 3 passes for 23 yards, and he also dropped at least 2 passes. So these drop passes, not good. Need to pull these in, get these yards, get these first downs. 49ers, that's why it was looking sloppy. Got to come up with these plays. Kyle Williams caught 1 pass for 5 yards. As for the tight ends, Vernon Davis fumbled near the Panthers' end zone, but luckily for the 49ers, the refs ruled the play was a drop, not a fumble, incomplete pass, so the 49ers did not lose the ball on that play. And that was the drive I was talking about earlier, how the 49ers were down in the Carolinas' red zone, and they did not produce a touchdown. And so is criticism going from the beginning of the season that I've had against the 49ers. They need to come up big in the red zone. They need to score when they are down there. It doesn't look as though they are connecting. It looks like too much pressure is getting them when they're in the red zone, and then they just kick a field goal, and they're losing points that could easily have been touchdown points. So, Vernon Davis, yeah, that was a lucky break for the 49ers, because it did kind of look like he might have fumbled that ball.
So I was kind of surprised that that call did not get overturned because the Panthers did challenge it. So Garrett Celek left the game in the first quarter because he pulled his hamstring. So that's another 49er injury to look out for. So for the offensive line, they created some holes for Gore against a tough eight-man box, and that was impressive. But they were horrible in pass protection because they did allow six sacks on Kaepernick. Davis was flagged for a false start too. So on the offensive line, not too impressive of a game from them. It looks like they have some improving to do. And so for the defensive line, they were probably the most solid this week. They held the Panthers to just 3.7 yards per carry. Justin Smith had five tackles, including a tackle for a loss. And Ray McDonald left another injury to look out for. Ray McDonald left the game early with an ankle injury. He's been dealing with this ankle injury since week two. Alden Smith hardly played and did nothing when he was on the field, although he had a good ball rush on the first snap of the game. So, defensive line, pretty solid for the 49ers this week. Linebackers, Ahmad Brooke was outstanding. Three sacks, five tackles, and he knocked down a pass. Very strong outing from him. And Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman combined for 15 tackles and a sack. So, as for the 49ers defensive linebackers, that looked very nice out there. So, for defensive backs, Tremaine Brock intercepted a pass that was right to him, and Terrell Brown knocked down away a deep pass to Brandon LaFell. Other than those plays, the secondary played poorly. They gave up a few crucial third down passes in the second half, and the Panthers finished the game going 7 for 17 on third down. So they did. That's another key factor that they did beat the 49ers in this week when they came up big with those third downs. As for special teams, we all saw that Dawson kicked those nice field goals for the 49ers, making it 9-0. And that's when the 49ers had some control over the game before they lost it. Offense just couldn't come up this week. It just never looked like, especially in the second half, just nothing was happening. More for special teams, Eric Reed recovered a fumbled punt, and that was a big play. And they gave up 21.7 yards per punt return to Ted Ginn Jr., and Anthony Dixon decided to run off a kickoff from the back of the end zone toward the end of the game, and he got tackled at the 12-yard line, so not a good decision by him. Anthony Dixon shouldn't have done that, because the 49ers lost 8 yards just from the start when they were trying to get back into the game when they were down in that fourth quarter. He should have just had them, the 49ers. 49ers could have just started at the 20. So the coaching for this game, what was going on with that? Why were the play calls not very good? The 49ers had 2 weeks to prepare for this Carolina Panther team, and it didn't seem like it looked like that. The Panthers only had 1 week to prepare for the 49ers. The 49ers had come back from London, 2 weeks rest from that Jaguar game. So had 2 weeks to prepare for the Panthers, and the Niners still got outcoached, and the Niners had virtually zero passing game, and it looked like the 49ers passing game was into comparison to Alex Smith's first season in the NFL in 2005. And the game plan featured plays that had failed all season. Kendall Hunter up the middle, and that was just a bad game play. And that's when the 49ers did lose the ball. So the 49ers took a 3-0 lead on the first drive, and it seemed like they tried to run out the clock for the rest of the game. That's the type of momentum they were playing, trying just to run out the clock when they had that lead. And then it looked like the 49ers and Panthers were trying to both equally play out that field position battle, trying to get give each other bad field position. And as poorly as Kaepernick did play in this game, this loss still falls on the poor coaching staff. There is really no excuse for this bad offensive performance after this bye week. So, what's going on with the 49ers coaching? What? I don't know. There's still, like I said before, 7 more games to play. There's not, the 49ers aren't in desperation mode yet. When I get back from the break, I will be talking about the 49ers' new stadium, Candlestick Park. What's going on with the 49ers injury report, where the 49ers stand, who's a playoff contender, future opponents for the 49ers team, where are the 49ers going, what direction are they going, is what's looking good, what's not. There's still so much to talk about. So when I get back, I'll be covering all that. You're listening to 49ers Live with Beadle at radio.dominican.edu. I'll be back here shortly.
store. There's nothing to keep my fingers warm, and all I find are souvenirs from better times. Before the gleam of your taillights fading east, to find yourself a better life.
I am back here at 49ers Live, radio.dominican.edu. So unfortunately, I had to cover a loss for the 49ers this week, and it was not a good loss because the 49ers did need this home win because now they are going onto the road against the New Orleans Saints. And they are also have the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football this season. Other games to look out for is obviously that big game against the Seattle Seahawks on December 8th. And I really hope this game, the 49ers, can come within a game of the Seahawks somehow, some way, to make it some type of close divisional playoff race. I do really hope that the 49ers can win the NFC West, because it would be cool to knock
Seattle to a wild card spot, because Seattle is, if they do win the division, they will be most likely have the home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and they are a very tough team clearly to beat at home. Russell Wilson is undefeated for the Seahawks at home. So the 49ers have dropped to 6-3 and have struggled much of the season throwing the football. Are you going to compete with teams like Seattle and New Orleans when you can't throw the football? No. Kaepernick needs to find some receivers to throw to. He needs to come up big on third downs. They need to get something clicking on offense. Crabtree, everybody is awaiting him, and he is coming off of a torn Achilles tendon. So is he going to be the same player he was before? And I don't know if he will be, but Davis hopefully will be back as soon as possible. The 49ers tight end is being evaluated for a concussion, and he got his head hit on a pass play down near the end zone. He was slow getting up and shortly after was seen walking into the locker rooms without his helmet in hand. Harbaugh did indicate he saw Davis and Reed after the game, and they seemed as good as they could be expected. He wouldn't project out any returns, so we'll see when Davis and Reed are going to be back. Eric Reed is also being evaluated for a concussion. So that is kind of a bummer for the 49ers, because Davis has been one of the 49ers producers. So it is up to Kaepernick to get this offense going. To win in this league on a consistent basis, you have to throw it well. And it looks like the 49ers running game has been carrying them more than the passing game, obviously, this season. So to talk about Kaepernick being a future Hall of Famer seems like a year ago. Yeah, it kind of does. He was destined to be one of the greatest, like many were saying last season, leading the team to the Super Bowl. But this season, watching him play in the pocket, he hasn't been good enough. He's not good under pressure. He's not losing the ball. He's holding on to it, but then he's just getting sacked. So for Kaepernick, there's still a lot to improve on. I'm going to take another quick break, very short break. But when I come back, I will be talking about the 49ers versus the Saints next week, and also talk about some fun facts on Candlestick Park. I'll be back here shortly at 49ers Live. I am back here at 49ers Live. So as many of you know, this is the farewell season to Candlestick Park. And Candlestick Park was the first stadium built since the Great Depression. It became the first of 8 league ballparks constructed in the 1960s. And the stick was promised to have some of the great features. An electronic scoreboard powered by 6,000 lamps was the world's largest. The seats at the time were 21 inches wider than the usual and had comfortable wooden backs and armrests. So it was, at the time, going to be a very nice stadium. It didn't turn out that way. Later on, of course, having a lot of criticism about the cold weather and just being kind of not a nice place to play baseball and football. But so much history has been played there, and with just it's sad to see it go being demolished because Willie Mays, Joe Montana, Steve Young, the World Series, the Beatles' last concert, Pope John Paul III, Candlestick Park has just been home to so much history. So it is very sad to see it go. But they are auctioning off seats to Candlestick Park for a very high price. I could never afford them. I think it's like you could buy a seat for $650. And you could also take a tour of Candlestick Park before it's closing and go behind the scenes of the park and what's going on with that. So going to the 49ers versus Saints next week. The 49ers are in this week 11 matchup are 2-point underdogs, which is not surprised it's not more. The Saints are currently 7-2 and the 49ers are 6-3. Also, another note, watch out for the Arizona Cardinals. They are in this playoff race as well. They're sit at 5-4. So the 49ers need to watch out for them. And the Seattle Seahawks are currently 9-1, first place in the NFC West. Best record in the NFC. So the San Francisco 49ers have opened up as a 2-point underdog for the first time since week 2 against the Seattle Seahawks. The 49ers are need to prepare for the St. Louis Rams in the Superdome because they do play well in the Superdome. The 49ers opened as a 1-point underdog at one other website, but it's climbed to 3 points and it will probably climb as the week goes on. So they are potentially losing Eric Reed and Vernon Davis in this game, and that makes it a much more difficult task for the 49ers to win this game. It's hard to win games when your key players are not healthy. And the Saints are playing some really good football, and getting this game on the Superdome turf only helps them, not the 49ers. It will be interesting to track whether or not the line potentially comes off the board due to some of the injuries. If Reed and Davis do not get positive reports over the next couple days, we'll probably see lines climb for the Saints in the prediction poll, and the Saints will probably be more favored than 2 to 3 points. So there's still hope for the 49ers if they do get Davis and Reed back, and the return of Crabtree, of course, will be big. So the Niner faithful, sad week for everybody. A lot of pressure on Kaepernick. He's the guy to look to. Can he produce some touchdowns? Didn't produce any this week. But the 49ers, I do see that they do. Before I close off the show, I'm not going to end on a sad note. The 49ers have won 6 games this season, have produced over 30 points in all of their wins. So it's not all bad, but can they come up with the W when they're playing a team above 500, a team who's better than the average? I don't know. We'll see this Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. There's still a lot of football left to play, so anything could change. The 49ers do have some easier opponents at the rest of their season. They're playing the Atlanta Falcons at home, who are not doing very well. They're playing the Rams who are not doing that well this season. They have the Cardinals again. So, and also a tough week for the 49ers because everyone in their division did come up with wins this week. So the 49ers did lose a game on everybody in their division. So hopefully things will get better. There's still 7 more games left. We'll look what's going to happen in this week 11 matchup against the New Orleans Saints. Hopefully I'll be back here with a recap win. I think the 49ers definitely have something to prove after this loss. It looked like they are going to come out with a strong game plan for next week. I'm excited to see what's going to progress from here because the defense does look like they are still one of the top defenses in the league. Patrick Willis as one of the leaders It looked on the defensive side of the ball, it looked nice out there on Sunday, but on the offense side of the ball, still so much to improve on. I would give Gore the ball more. He looking go with that game plan more, run the ball. He only got like 4 carries, so give Gore the ball. Kaepernick needs to find some receivers to throw to. And so, yeah, that's my quick recap for this week. I'll be back here same time, same place, 49ers Live with B-Doll at radio.dominican.edu next week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to the listeners for listening. There's still a lot more football to play this season. 49ers, not out of it, of course. Not in desperation mode. They will keep getting better, of course. I'll see everybody all next week. Thank you for listening.
Oh boy. How is Lagos?
Like you.
Hard for final, my class. So, this is for the ones that went before us. You may go, I'll let you go. May God bless you. You'll be mine. Wherever you may be, it's a warning to say aloha, 'cause you never find another Hawaiian.